Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to our Bravo episode of Tender Loving Care with your host myself, Pauline, and my darling Kate. This is the time of the week that we dive headfirst into our wonderful Bravo shows, Kate and I's podcast, Tender Loving Care, which is available on all podcasting platforms, has a new episode each Tuesday in which we deep dive into the 90 Day Fiancé world. On Wednesday, we pick shows from the TLC and Discovery Plus network, past and present, and deep dive that insanity. And on Fridays, we release our Patreon every other week, plus this Bravo show. Whew, that's a lot. All right, without further ado, let's get into Bravo. Well, hi, Kate. Oh, actually, no, Kate. So guys, we're going to start off this show by doing a little bit of housekeeping. First of all, I know this is coming out on a Monday night. It should have come out on the Friday. I was planning to record and then things came up and it's been crazy. So I'm recording now. Kate is going to be on and off for the next, probably the next few weeks. And the reason is she's prepping for a big, big move. So don't worry, we haven't had a massive Kyle Richards, Lisa Vanderpump fallout. It's nothing like that. It's purely that Kate is kind of up to her eyeballs planning a cross-country move. So she has a lot of stuff to do. So I said, listen, you know that I can just speak to an empty room for hours on end, and God bless the listeners that have to deal with that, but you know, I'll let her know when I'm recording, and if she can pop in she will, and if not it'll just be me. But I will tell you, it's not going to be just me all the time, because I'm lining up some fabulous guests. We have a guest this Friday coming up, an extra special episode that we're releasing for you, besides our Bravo show, besides our Patreon. It's going to be available to everyone. And we are going to be covering, are you ready, guys? I'm very excited about this. We are going to be covering the Ashley Simpson show circa early 2000s. It was one of the first reality shows that was really in that vein of what we see now. It is Ashley Simpson running around saying how hard it is to record music, even though she's 19, turns up to all the meetings late, everything's paid for, she's the best musicians, the best studio time, and obviously her dad as her manager, who we will get into. But I do want to let you know, I am going to be discussing that with our very special guest. So I will announce who that is in our next episode. But guys, you already love her. I know you already know who she is. And I know you already love her. And she is going to be on the show with me to discuss the Ashley Simpson show. Luckily, if you want to catch up on the ridiculous early 2000s skinny scarves of Ashley Simpson, go to YouTube. It's all on YouTube. Like, some saint has put up, apparently there were 2 seasons of Ashley Simpson show. Unclear how I made it 2 seasons, but you can go and see, they've all been uploaded on YouTube. So go and check them out. They are brilliant. Don't forget the whole era when she's dating Ryan Cabrera. Guys, I can't even start how good this show is. It's going to be fabulous. Cannot wait to discuss it all with you. So that's what we're going to have coming up this week. And housekeeping, that's what I just wanted to let you know about Kate. So she'll be on and off, but I'm going to be here. I have some other guests lined up who I know you love, and it's going to be a fun time. So we want to get into our Bravo shows right now. And, you know, with me just recording solo, I decided I had to get cozy. So, you know, when I've done these shows before on my own, I do, like, I'm just basically horizontal. Like, if I don't need to sit up and put any makeup on and wear any, like, proper clothes to record, I'm not going to. So I am currently, you are listening to me as I currently record in my cozy bed. In my cozy room, I have some sage lit in my little cauldron. Yes, I actually have a little cauldron. It's like a tiny little cauldron that I've lit some sage in. And I am fully relaxed. That is not due to Xanax or wine or anything like that. It is purely just feeling mellow and relaxed in my bed. And we are going to deep dive into Bravo. Woohoo! Okay. Now, guys, we're going to do VPR, we're going to do Real Housewives of BH, and I know that obviously this is kind of late because it was released, like, end of last week, but bear with me, I just want to go through some major points with it. Now, let's start with VPR. Here's the deal with VPR. I had said last week when Kate and I were talking about it, I don't know where I am anymore with it. I was ready to prep to watch it to record. And I just had this feeling of like, oh, I don't want to watch it. You know, something you procrastinate. It was like doing maths homework. I was like, I'm putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And then it's VPR. And I thought, God, like, looking back of how much I would like binge watch VPR when it was like the glory days. Laura Lee, Jack's going to jail, Stassi slapping Kristen. I mean, those were the glory days. And this season, I think, is nothing more than an indicator that it has to end. I listen to a lot of other Bravo shows and Bravo podcasts, and I seem to hear the consensus all around is that I don't know why all of them were doing it this well. We do, and they just have to give up doing it, because you're watching these people and none of them want to do it, but they're in this gilded cage of, they know that's how they're going to make their money. I mean, DJ James Kennedy is booking big gigs, right? DJing. Ali's got her, you know, birth chart reading company. They've bought a house. But, you understand that you've been on this for years. It's a big paycheck. After Scandival, it's huge. And you want to keep chasing it. You want to keep chasing it. But, I mean, how long can they chase it? Because these scenes and these episodes, we're watching a 40-something-year-old man writing his diary. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. And I don't know who does. And when it comes to Katie, now, I will preface, you know how I feel about Katie. Katie's very polarizing. I always loved her because I think she's the prettiest out of all of them. And I loved looking at her, and I loved a lot about her, but she's miserable. You are watching this miserable woman on television every week. It's not fun. And Ariana is doing this because this was only 3 months after Scandival. So of course I'm sure she was getting paid a boatload to be on the show and, you know, get her on there and watch all this stuff take off. But at this point, it's weird to say there's no storyline because it's just essentially her trying to pick up the pieces. Plus, she's got all these amazing other things happening to her. So she doesn't really need the show anymore. And the show is just a constant reminder of her pain, which you're then watching on television. I don't know, guys. If you are watching this season and you love it, please DM us and let us know why. Genuinely, I want to know, like, if I'm looking at it from a skewed angle, because it's just, you know, you've got Sheena crying every 3 minutes. And I will say that at least this episode, it was great to see the old Sheena making absolutely everything about her, which we always enjoy because that is old school Sheena. Seeing Brock putting Smirnoff vodka in tequila? It's a show that I think needs to end after this season. I don't know if it will, but I can't imagine Ariana coming back to this. Can you? I mean, I don't know, but let's get into the show. So we're back in Tahoe and we wake up, we see everyone kind of waking up and there is, I believe it was like a really quick like scan of somebody sat at the kitchen table. I thought it was Sheena, but then you see her in the bed. So I don't think it was her. It could have been Allie. And I was obsessed with how many drinks were in front of her. No, I think it even could have been Lala, because there was this girl sat with a cap on at the table and they skimmed her very quickly. And there was Monster, because apparently they're all like still drinking Monster. And they were drinking Monster. There was a Monster drink. There was a water. There was a coffee. There was like four different drinks. It was so bizarre. I was trying to get my eyes on it because, you know, I love to talk beverages as much as I love to talk finances. Anyway, so we kind of see everyone waking up in this house in Tahoe. And Sandoval writing in his diary, I mean, oh, if that doesn't pain you, I just don't know how it's like on the call sheet. It's like, okay, so we're going to get Sandoval waking up, lying in bed, writing in his diary. It's hard. It's really hard to watch because I don't care. I think that's the thing. I just don't care about these characters anymore. So he's doing that. Lala comes into Sheena's room. And I love how Sheena still sleeps with her green frog, that cuddly toy, that green frog. I don't know if you guys notice it. She still sleeps with it, even though she's twice married, has a child. She's still sleeping with her cuddly toy. And I appreciate that. And then, you know, you have Lala and her discussing this whole thing about how to deal with Sandoval and how much it affects Sheena, and it's all about Sheena and all of this stuff. And we get this whole conversation, and I would love, 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 love the ins and outs of this. So, Sheena's saying, I'm conflicted, I miss him, I miss who he was, and I love him, I loved him, but I hate him, and I can't hate him for Ariana, and blah, 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 all this stuff. And she says, you know, he was so nice because when my podcast got cancelled, she had no income and she woke up to a PayPal of thousands of dollars from Sandoval. Now, guys, I will freely give out my PayPal if any of you want me to wake up extremely happy one morning, because this was just wild. Wild for many reasons. One, it was extremely kind of Sandoval to do that. How destitute was she? I am perplexed by these people. They're buying houses. She had that Palm Springs house plus a Marina Del Rey rental that I believe at this time Raquel was renting from her. Unclear the exact timeline. But she'd had a podcast that she was getting paid for. Plus she was getting paid for appearing on Vanderpump Rules. Plus any kind of Instagram deals and stuff like this that she may have. And she was so destitute, she had to borrow money from Sandoval? It's really confusing. Oh, not to mention that she has a husband. Now, if anyone could explain to me what Brock does, I would be thrilled to listen. I have a lot of... This episode gave me a lot of questions. It asked a lot of questions and it answered none of them. So that just stayed with me through the whole episode. My brain is just going round and round of like, how was she that broke? How was she that broke? How was she that broke? Anyway, then, so they're kind of having this whole conversation and Brock's gone to go and play golf. And then we see Katie. Katie, I just want you to smile once. Just smile once. She's, like I said, I described her as looking like somebody set her vulva on fire. And I keep using that expression because I think it's just so fitting. She's miserable. She looks uncomfortable in front of the camera. She doesn't want to be there. But it's as though she knows, I have to earn money. I have to be here. But I really, really don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to discuss the same things. I don't want to be doing the same scenes that I did when I was 28 years old. I don't want to do it anymore. But she has to, because this sandwich shop, I mean, I remember once again, I would like to say, roll the footage. I said this time last year, whenever Sandoval came out and they were talking about something about her, I said, that will never open. I said, that shop will never open. They were like, it'll be open at the end of summer. It'll be open at the end of summer. I don't think that shop will ever open. It's so expensive. It is something that Ariana no longer needs. And she's going to have to dump all her money into it, as anyone would with a business. I mean, even if you're having business loans and stuff like that, it's still a financial liability. And she's trying to sell this house for Sandoval. Plus, Raquel's now suing her. So she at least has to get some legal advice, which costs tens of thousands of dollars. So that's where I'm at with it. And I don't know. It's just strange because you're just seeing Katie come over and Ariana's being really successful and she's shooting these photos for her cocktail, a new cocktail book she's doing. I mean, they wasted no time. Her publicist, her PR man, everyone was like, yes, 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 to every brand from Clorox, that's it, Clorox wipes, to Lay's potato chips, to a new cocktail book. They were just throwing this shit out. And good for her. Take all the money. Say yes to everything. You can sleep later. But it must be hard for Katie, right? Think about her. She's coming over to see Ariana just flourish and get glam and do this cocktail book. Whereas, what has she got going on? I'm just questioning how she must feel and why she's so miserable. Because what is she doing? They discuss, you know, oh, how was your date? And then we get this flash to her being on a date with someone who she looks like she despises when he's like, what's penne? And listen, I definitely roll my eyes and end the date at that as well. But she's so unhappy. She's so unhappy. Anyway, could be wrong, but thoughts, please. Let me know. DM us, 10 to 11 Care Podcast. Okay. So they kind of have this whole conversation and that everyone's up in Tahoe. And then we see Shannon, this healer with her yoga mat. I don't know what she was doing. She came over and we see Sandoval greeting her. She's going to do some meditation work with the whole group. And they get the yoga mats out and his nail polish has to go. It has to. And he then explains to Shannon, this is how he phrased this, by the way. This drove me nuts. I was with this girl for a long time. No. You were in a committed relationship of nearly a decade and bought a house with and was living with your girlfriend. He was like, I was with a girl for a long time and I cheated on her. I mean, this man knows not what he says. I mean, he really is. Every time you think Sandoval can't get worse, he gets worse. And, you know, when Sheena's going on about how much she loves Sandoval, I get it. Sandoval was always my favorite. Always my favorite. Never forget him rubbing his tears away with Schwartz's dog at Katie and Schwartz's wedding. You know, he was always there. He was always the good guy. He was always being nice. He was so nice to James when everyone hated James. Like, Sandoval, we loved you, man. And you messed it all up. But you know what? Sheena's like praying for that guy back. But that's not who he is anymore. People change, and Sandoval really is a very, very unpleasant person. So they do this whole thing where they're sitting back to back. Everyone comes down and we get, Sheena's getting super emotional because she's back to back with Sandoval. And all I could, I was so out bored at this point. I was just looking at that Tahoe water and I was thinking, God, I'd love to go to Tahoe. So while I was watching this, I must admit I was on Airbnb looking up houses in Tahoe to rent for my birthday. But anyway, so she gets super upset, and then Schwartz is talking about a blue jay. I don't know. Brock comes in. Now, Brock, he is an enigma wrapped in Sheena's cash. Let's just say that, because he was playing golf, then comes in, Sheena's pissed off at him, and he sits down. He looks like he's kind of drunk. Shannon, this meditator, is like, imagine this is the last time you're ever going to see someone, and look into each other's eyes. And Sandoval's looking into Sheena's eyes, and he has this one solo tear, ultra dramatic, rolling down. She goes, remember, there was so much love before the loss. I was like, yeah, but not if the love was completely false. Sandoval wasn't who he said he was. It was a big act for a long time. So let it go. He just keeps going, you don't understand. I don't know if you guys heard that. He kept saying, you don't understand, as though there was an excuse. There was reasoning for his behavior. I think, you know, if you do something so horrific as cheat, and the way he cheated, and just cheating in general in a long-term relationship, I think it's so awful. You're either completely morally bankrupt and just have no morals, or it's so bad what you're doing, you convince yourself that it's not actually that bad. Well, my relationship wasn't so good, so that's kind of why I did it. And you know what? I needed to be heard, so I needed that. It's this selfish self-preservation to not realize how bad it is, these things that you're doing. And I think he's still in that. He always finds a reason to try and rationalize what he's done. There's no remorse. There's none with Sandoval. He's just, there's none. And I just put here, like, his redemption arc in this whole season that it's going to be about. It's just the whole season is, which I predicted, is going to be Sandoval being taken into corners by different people, having a reckoning, having tears, having a hug, and moving on. That's what it's going to be. And it's just boring and it's predictable. Wow, I'm really selling this season of VPR, aren't I? I mean, I might be wrong. I want to hear from you guys if you actually really like it and why you like it, because I'm just struggling, guys.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Struggling. So I've just put, back at Katie and Ariana. They start doing the, can we talk about these interviews? So they go to the Electric Owl, which is this bar on Sunset, to do interviews. And then we meet Brent. Now, there's a gentleman named Brent who turns up for an interview wearing a pickle tie. A little pickle tie. So his tie was just covered in pickles. And I thought, that's beautiful. And thank you so much. He sat down and he said he worked at the Four Seasons, but couldn't really talk about anything about hospitality, which was very odd. Anyway, so they, you know, Katie and Ariana are getting kind of annoyed because they're not being like heard as much with their questions as opposed to the other woman that's there and helping them. And I mean, they are nowhere near opening the shop, nowhere near. And so all of this, you know, is obviously all fake, them interviewing people, because this was over a year ago, or no, about a year ago, less than a year ago, and it's still not open. So I highly doubt they hired people and said, you know what, if you could just wait a year for, and just wait for our call to start your job, that would be great. So we kind of go through this and it's like, wah, wah, okay, whatever. We do see the gondola ride, you know, of the two Toms and Brock kind of discussing a little bit about Sheena, and it's just all a Sheena episode. And they go on this gondola ride and then they kind of get up to wherever they were, and they're all drinking, I saw Monster again. I couldn't help it. Like either Bud Light or Monster. God bless them. Then they end up going on a boat. Sorry, my notes aren't like completely perfect because I was just so bloody bored. But they get on this boat and Sheena decides to FaceTime Ariana, who's obviously with Katie because it's all, you know, pre-planned, but to say, to FaceTime her while she's on holiday with her ex to talk about how much it's hurting her. I mean, if you want classic Sheena, it's classic Sheena. It really is. And Ariana and Katie, you know, she's just like, I just can't keep hating him for you. And they're like, okay, whatever. It's a bit of comic relief just to see the lack of self-awareness that Sheena has. They're all on the boat and, you know, Sandoval's obviously really uncomfortable and he's trying to talk to everybody and he starts getting into it, Lala, and they have this big fight. And he's, you know, he's going on to her about, you know, we didn't know anything about your life, Lala, and you will know everything about mine. And it's just all his excuses and reasoning don't really hold much weight to where we are in the present day that they're filming. But then Lala goes way over the top and, in my opinion, and says that he groomed Raquel. I don't know. I think that's a very strong word, because you isolated her and you groomed her. And I was like, I don't know about that. Then they end up just fighting and they end up hugging. And I'm like, okay. Then we get back to this place in the big house in Tahoe and Brock is wasted. And I must admit, this was great. They do a flashback of him trying to take shots with the captain on the boat. I swear to God, he ordered a drink that was tequila and something. It was like tequila and soda or whatever with a splash of vodka. That should be illegal. I mean, that should be illegal. I have, in all my days, I have never heard anyone drinking that before. So he's wasted. Him and Schwartz are talking about love and romance. And Schwartz is like, I just want the romance in the movies, man. And I was like, yeah, but you've got to then be the hero, Schwartz. And I don't know if you can be that hero, my friend. Anyway, so, I mean, I just wrote at least some people having drunk conversations because everyone else is like, all right, I'm just going to bed. Ah, driving me nuts. Lala and Sheena, yeah, they're in bed and Lala's like, you know, I'm just looking at all my mentions and she's just, Sheena is, and she's just obsessed with fame. Essentially, that's what it is. There's nothing wrong with that. She's been very open about that. She always wanted to be famous. She always wanted to be, you know, something. Hello, don't forget her starring role in the Jonas Brothers TV show when she was Hot Pizza Girl. Like, don't forget that, you know. I mean, she was having threesomes with John Mayer. She was sleeping with, you know, Eddie Cibrian. She was doing whatever she could. So God bless her. And she's now famous. But she wants more. She wants more and more and more. And she's just like, I'm exhausted. And I just wrote, we're exhausted, Sheena. We're exhausted too. I said, Ariana's doing fine. No, that's what they start saying. They start saying, Ariana's fine. Ariana's fine. And here's the deal. It was 3 months since her entire world blew up. She's not fine. She is not fine. She's on autopilot. That's what she's doing. And all that trauma is going to hit her like a truck when maybe when she finishes on Broadway, when all the phone is ringing less and less, that's when it's going to hit her. Because she's not fine after 3 months. She's just completely compartmentalizing everything. And we end the episode with Sheena simply saying, when is it going to be about me? God bless. God bless America and God bless Sheena, because that was a beautiful line. And the next week we see about the Dancing with the Stars stuff. So that was VPR. I mean, I know I'm really dogging on it and just like, let me know, guys. You can always email us at tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at tenderlovingcarepodcast and DM. I answer all the DMs. So love, love, love speaking to you. So please let me know your thoughts. But that was VPR. We should go over and touch on Beverly Hills, the reunion. So we're on part 2 of 3. We always know that part 2 is the filler. They should stop doing that. Just have a one-parter and make it amazing. But instead, they insist on doing 3, and the middle one is always kind of nothingy, which this is. We've got Dorit and Crystal are going at it. And this filler episode is just a lot of that. Dorit and Kyle. Kyle is just grasping at straws to get at Dorit. She has changed so much, and you know, Kyle and Sutton start going at it, and Kyle's, I am open, and all you're talking about is a horse and a dating coach. And I was like, listen, none of them had any storylines apart from you and Dorit, and both you and Dorit aren't talking about what you should be talking about. So what do you want? I mean, none of them had storylines this year. We do get some great, great clips of Denise again at the dinner party. Denise carried this season and she was in 2 episodes. I mean, that's how bad the season was. It was a strange question Andy asked. He said, what did you think of Morgan's... It was either a viewer question or Andy question. What did you think of Morgan's reaction when you said you were going to have a weed party? He was asking Kyle this. And we get the flashback, I'd forgotten this, when, as Danny Pellegrino says, honky-tonk lesbian Morgan was getting in the tattoo parlor with Kyle. And Kyle is just completely enamored and goo-goo over her and giggling and all of this. And she said, oh, I'm about to do that weed party. And Morgan is like, kind of crunches her nose and looks down. It's like, okay. Now, how does she speak? She's like, she's I'm not even going to start. I was really going to start. I need to listen to her again. I know I could do an impression of her before. It's like really high-pitched and unusual and very, very southern accent. Anyway, so she's like, okay, or something like that. And to me, her reaction, in the words of Katie Maloney when she was talking about Schwartz's rumored ex-girlfriend, Joe, Morgan's reaction was spooky. I think it was very spooky. It was weird. I don't get Morgan at all. The more I think that whole straight edge is fine, obviously, if that's your choice. But with her, like the way she was saying to Kyle, really, you're going to do that? I don't know about that. Don't know. But I think Kyle is so easily influenced. And I think she's so influenced by Morgan. More photos every day are coming out in the trades. Page 6, Daily Mail, Radar Online, of those two bipping and bopping all around LA, going for frozen yoga, doing everything but just make out in front of the cameras and still say, no, those rumors are ridiculous. Meanwhile, they're calling the paparazzi. Anyway, Andy yawns while Dorit is telling a story about a robbery. So, you know, Andy's 3 for 3 at this point, yawning while Dorit speaks. But you know what? I get it. A lot of people yawn when I tell 3-hour stories, so I understand. She did get into this second robbery, and I'm not going to go over this all again, but Kate and I had broken down how ridiculous this whole story was of this three men randomly following her when she'd withdrawn this money. And randomly, like, okay, I've got to just emphasize this again because it doesn't make sense. It's this whole story about how it was Christmas time. She had withdrawn $10,000 in cash from the bank. She said it was for tips. We found that out in the reunion. We did not know that before. She said, I got it for Christmas presents. So Kate and I was like, nobody pays in cash anymore. Why would she have got that for? So it makes sense. She was going to give cash tips to like people that she that work with her, things like that. Okay, got it. That makes sense. So she got $10,000 out of the bank and she claims she got that $10,000 out. She went to Marshall's, I think it was, or Home Goods, and it was in her bag and in the cart. And when she put the cart, she was buying stuff, went to check out, realizes her bag isn't there. They roll the footage, security footage, and they said that three men had randomly been following her. So is she insinuating that by a complete off chance, when she went into the bank that morning, there were three men that just happened to want to rob someone that day, were after really nefarious things, and happened upon Dorit Kemsley withdrawing $10,000, and then were able to follow her all the way to Marshall's, be able to steal a bag, a purse, in broad daylight and walk out with it? All three men, or is she saying these three men were complete randos that just saw her and three men were walking around LA just waiting to rob? It doesn't make any sense. Or is she saying she's been followed constantly, followed from her house to the bank and then they saw she withdrew money, so they followed her from the bank to Home Goods? I don't know, guys. None of that makes sense. However, I know I'm saying this, but we need to get into what Garcelle said. We go over the robbery, which is horrific, that Dorit went through. She had a gun at her head, a man in her room at night, two men in her room, one saying, just kill her, just kill her. That's what she dealt with. This woman is gone through something so, 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 so traumatic. I love Garcelle. I've always liked Garcelle because I think she was a breath of fresh. And I think she questioned people quite rightly. She went against Erica and not a lot of people did. She was not scared of people. I like it. But she can be very nasty. And I just wrote, Garcelle was such a bitch during this. I know I'm a Dorit stan. I know a lot of people don't like Dorit. I do. I love her. And it's not just for her fabulous boobs. But she sat there saying, Garcelle, you questioned whether that even happened to me. And Garcelle's like, well, not really. I mean, I just don't know. You know, like, it doesn't really make sense. You're telling me that a robber just left your phone by the gate. I mean, come on. She's basically she's like smirking and laughing. If I was Dorit, I would have jumped off that couch and I would have punched her in the face. I was so appalled at the way she was behaving. And listen, we all know there have been rumors out there that PK owes a lot of dangerous men a lot of money. A lot of money. There's been, he owed like $1 million to a casino in Vegas. There's a lot of people he owes money to. But the fact that she's questioning, not did your husband set all this up, which a lot of, or that your husband is to blame, which a lot of people have said, is that she's even questioning Dorit's account of it as though Dorit was in on it. Give me a break. Her two young children were in the next room and she thought her life was going to end. Garcelle was appalling in this. I really hated that. I don't know what Garcelle was doing. The only thing I can think of is that perhaps Garcelle and a lot of those people and a lot of those women on the sofa know a lot more than we do. I think that the rumor mill is obviously crazy, and I think they probably know a lot more about what happened and what PK is into than what we know. That's my only suspicion of her just being really annoyed by it, you know. Then we get, you know, Andy's like, Kyle, you know, on the bus in, where were they? Spain? I can't remember. Spain, right? Yeah. You said that you just sign anything your husband gives you. And she plays up this stupid, like, floozy kind of, oh, I don't know. There's just so much small print. What? That's so empowering. Wow. You're so cute and funny. not looking at anything you sign when you see the mess that Erica is in and the mess women get into all the time by husbands just completely messing up the money. Like, it's not funny or cute. I don't know what she was trying. Plus, she's going to go through a divorce, so I don't know what she was laughing about. Anyway, then Garcelle says her marriage is, quote, better than ever. Pause. A lot of people did roll their eyes at that. PK has been sober for 49 days. And I think she was very, very open when she says PK loves a drink. He's a drinker. He loves a drink. And Crystal and Garcelle were so smug. They sat there smiling and smirking. I don't know what they're into. I don't know what they're doing, but they're becoming very unlikable. I don't get it. And I loved Crystal. I just don't know. And I love Garcelle. I just don't know what they were doing. They really have it out for Dorit. Erica gets a plug of this, you know, her special Better All on Blonde, which I've not watched yet. Mikey Minden, the ghoul of WeHo, is, as I've nicknamed him, is in it a lot, so I will be tuning in. But in it, she goes and meets some of the victims, the victims of Tom and herself. And she said she went by advice of counsel. That's charming, lovely. And then Andy goes, can you tell us why you did it? And she just goes, I cannot. Okay, fine. And then Tom is competent to stand trial, the trial which would be happening this year, I think in the next month or so. So he's competent to stand trial, but has been diagnosed with dementia. And Crystal's coming in hot saying, how does that even work? And that's just kind of left. Then a legend comes onto the stage or enters, and that is Kathy. Kathy is in, and I am so excited. She gets out of her car with slippers, pillow, in her pajamas, beautiful. Then we see her getting her glam done, and she just spills so much already. She says that she thinks that Kyle does not make any rash decisions, and she goes, I think Kyle's probably been thinking about this, meaning the split with Maurizio, as I like to call him. You know I call him Maurizio, even though she calls him Maurice. Like, the nicknames for this guy, no one just says Maurizio. Everyone is Mo, Maurice, Morris, Maurizio. I don't know what his name is. But she says, I think she's been thinking about this for the last 3 or 4 years. Oof. Yeah. We get some footage of RV, Sutton's assistant, which I deeply appreciate because you know he's on my list of loves. I love that RV. He's a cheeky, bitter little butler. In the words of Bethany Frankel, he's a snarky, bitter little butler, and I love it. Sorry, house manager. So they talk about Sutton, Magic Mike, her ex moving to London. And in case you forgot, we were told again, we saw in the Watch What Happens live footage, the Sutton Strack, after taxes, receives $300,000 a month. $300,000 a month in spousal support. And I'm gonna leave that there, guys. It's just been a while. I feel like this has been negative Polly in both of these shows, but I'm just aching, guys. I am aching physically for some Good Housewives. Like, I want the old Roni. I know I go back to, I know we can't get those days again. There is a rumor going around that the new season of Roni is going to be a couple of the new ones. Ugh. Plus Lou, Sonia, Dorinda. I don't know how that would work. I think they can only work on their own. Because, you know, if you get some of the new York friends of New York, I don't want to call them housewives, some of them were like 37. And, you know, you know, Ramona's like 78. So no, I'm kidding. Kidding. So I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know. But I just am disappointed. I need some good Bravo. I'm ready for a good show to come on Bravo where I can really sink my teeth into it again, because these two aren't cutting it, guys. They aren't. But I am going to love you and leave you. And I'm going to fall asleep right now because I've got the heating on and this is very, very cozy right now where I am. So I am going to be back with a couple of things this week for you. So we have to get you, obviously, the Wheel of Shame episode. We are going to be covering Ghost Hunters with Zach Bagans, who I love. Cannot wait to discuss that with you. That's going to be coming out Wednesday. Obviously we have our 90 Day Fiancé coverage. I'm gonna try and get that out for you tomorrow, okay? So 90 Day Fiancé coverage will be out tomorrow. And then Thursday we have a very, very special guest, which I will announce on the Wednesday show. You are going to be so excited. You already know her, you already love her. She's a genius. I can't wait to discuss Ashley Simpson show. Guys, oh, it's brilliant. All right. You have a fabulous evening or day, whatever you're doing right now, whether you're listening as you're at work, whether you're at the gym, whether you're going for a walk. Where else do people listen to us? Probably. I imagine a lot of you play this if you have young children to just lull the children to sleep. My screeching about Sheena and Garcelle, it just lulls the children to sleep. So good night, God bless, and I will be back tomorrow. Bye bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.